Well, good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 30th day of August 2018 and my name is Peter Wickham. Surprise, surprise, here with you on a Thursday. Special thanks to Mr. Dennis Johnson for making that happen, and also special thanks to Mr. Dennis Johnson for being the producer, telephonist, and the general management of today's program this morning. We are with you from now until 1:30. It's a change in arrangement, so until 1:30 we are with you, and we look forward to having the distinguished contributions that will come from various people over time. And I think that you might know from now our call number is 434-1790. You can also reach us via the WhatsApp, which is 266-IVOB. And you can also reach me via email, peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. And those are the various facilities that you can use. And I'd be more than happy to hear from you. Well, it's been 2 months since I've been in this chair, and I must admit that I have missed you. I suspect that some of you have missed me, while others have rejoiced in my absence. And to those of you who have rejoiced in my absence, well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, that you will be hearing a bit of me from this point onward. And for those who have missed me, well, I'm happy to be back with you to carry on the various conversations, because a whole lot has happened in the last 2 months, and that I was denied the opportunity to comment on. Of course, I get the opportunity on Sundays via the press, but there are various other things that come up from time to time that we may want to comment on that I don't have the opportunity to do so. So very quickly, let me just say a couple of things, and then let me throw the call open so that you can have the opportunity to interact directly. Starting with a special obituary, I should say, obituary or condolence message, a word in respect of the late Uncle Carson, who was better known as George, or in some instances known as George. Carson Small was an institution in this country, someone for whom I had great respect. I met Carson, Uncle Carson, along with Auntie Olga at the same time when they were both hosting the Children's Party Pageant of Youth in the studio right next door. I was a wee little lad at that time, and I always looked up to Uncle Carson. At the time, I looked up to him because physically it was difficult not to. But as time passed, I looked up to Uncle Carson on account of the tremendous achievements that he made, notwithstanding the fact that he had a disability. And you know, these days we see people with disabilities in all kinds of different orientations, all kinds of different regards, doing different jobs. I would say that Uncle Carson was one of the originators. I never realized that Uncle Carson couldn't see, quite frankly, and I think his sight deteriorated as time passed. But certainly, as I remember him as a child, it was more the value of the entertainment that he brought along with Auntie Olga on Saturdays. And the fact that he actually had a disability was not something that struck me till a lot later in life, when I had the opportunity to chat with him extensively, and I realized that he didn't see. And I think that that speaks volumes, because he had a stature and he made a contribution that rose above his disability. But even if we consider that, we see essentially what people with disabilities can do, the contribution they can make. And the fact is that Uncle Carson, for most of his life, was far more concerned with the contribution he could make to enhancing the lives of others than himself. And in many instances, had to be pushed and encouraged to look out for himself over time, which was a peculiar kind of way of looking at life. It was a selflessness that I think that we would all want to emulate. Uncle Carson has not been in the best of health of late, and I note that he has actually received a national honor, which is something commendable. And it was almost inevitable that his time would come soon. And I think that he was ready for it. Uncle Carson, and like me, is a believer, and he would have been ready to meet his maker. And I think that he would have been well prepared for what has happened. But certainly for us, it is a loss. It is a loss for us at this station, and also nationally, to be without the voice and the distinguished presence of Uncle Carson, who did programs in the studio, I would believe up to about two, three years ago. I recall seeing him recording a religious program and a program he did on behalf of the disabled. So farewell, well done, Uncle Carson. Your memory, your contribution that you have made to life will not be quickly forgotten. We've had 100 days of Barbados Labour Party governance under Prime Minister Mia Motley, and in that time, quite a bit has happened. 2018 will go down, certainly in my memory, as one of the most active years politically. We had three general elections in Barbados this year. We had three landslides in Barbados this year, two with the incumbent and one with the new government coming in. History has been made in so many ways. And in a sense, the Mia Motley administration has hit the ground running, literally. We've had almost record assembling of parliament. We have had a throne speech and constitutional changes being introduced in the same day. There's been a flurry of activity. And certainly in the time that I have been away, the BLP has celebrated 100 days in office. We have had the Ross University move to Barbados, which has been controversial. We have had other minor controversies. The IMF negotiations have continued apace. We have had the arrest of former Minister Don Valinis and all that brings with it. And we have also had the identification, the nomination, and the successful election of the Democratic Labour Party's first woman as president, Ms. Verla de Prieza. And I would certainly want to take this opportunity to congratulate her. I have already done so via the newspaper and congratulate her for her own achievement. And I'm happy to tell you, with the permission of Mr. Dennis Johnson, who is the producer, that she has agreed to join me on Sunday. So you have on Sunday, one-on-one, Peter Wickham, Verla de Prieza, Brasstack Sunday with the compliments of Williams Industries. We will have us in the studio all alone. And of course, your calls and your emails. So for those of you who want to hear me speak to Ms. de Prieza, or who want to speak themselves to Ms. de Prieza, I am happy to tell you that on Sunday you will have the opportunity to do so. We go on at 11 o'clock. She's agreed to be with us until 12:30. So make sure you get your calls and your conversation in early to hear what this good lady has to offer the people of Barbados as an alternative to the status quo. Should be very interesting. So I have a lot of other views on things which I want to share, but I've used up my allotted 10 minutes, and I think it is probably best at this stage that I get to the phones and we have the opportunity to chat again. If not during the course of this program, I can have some more remarks for you next week, Tuesday, when I come back from my regular slot. So this is Down to Brass Tacks. We say good morning and welcome.
Morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Your voice seems to have gotten stronger over the time I was away.
Oh?
Yeah, it sounds stronger.
I guess it gets stronger with age. Yeah. I think we can safely refer to Mr. Dennis Johnson as Mr. All-Inclusive.
All-Inclusive.
After all the duties he has to perform. And he does it well. Now, it's probably going to make me a point, right? What I am going to talk about, I want to make it clear that I am not encouraging law people to break the law or supporting them when they're breaking the law. But there's some things that I find to be very unfair, and I'm going to mention them, right? First, the tank that have been deemed, again, in some cases, illegal. Yeah, I can see official cars, police official cars, privately owned cars, with some of the darkest tint, right? Then there's the brake lights that has also been deemed illegal. It comes into the island, it comes through the port, it clears the port, it goes into the shops, they're advertised for sale, they're being sold, but the only time it becomes illegal is when you install them in your car. Parking. While walking up Fonte Bell on Sunday night after the match at Kensington, I noticed there were parking tickets on every car park on the sidewalk. Everyone. But yet, there's a school behind Government House. When you pass the main gate of Government House and turn left, that every evening during school time, you can find cars parked on that sidewalk, obstructing the sidewalk. Nobody don't put parking tickets on them. Right? I'm not encouraging all breaking. I just want to show you how unfair it can be. That's all I want to highlight.
In the interest of fairness, though, those vehicles that are parked outside St. Winifred School, is it not normal that people are inside those vehicles while they're parked?
No. They're also no parking sign.
Where do people go then?
Mind you, even if they're inside, the engines are turned off.
I know, but the point is that they're in the vehicles.
Hold on, please. A vehicle is only parked when the engine is turned off.
All right, no problem. I'm just saying to you that you have to consider that there's a difference between a vehicle that is parked with no driver and the driver is not present. It's different to a situation where you have a vehicle. If you had an emergency and you wanted to clear that road, you would be able to do it far more easily, no?
Let me consider that it's just a cricket game that's lasting a few hours. Rear parking is a problem. Mm-hmm. And people park on the sidewalk because they can't get anywhere else to park. Let us consider that too.
All right.
You see what I mean? As I said at the beginning, I'm not encouraging people to break the law.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. But if you can hammer one set of people, hammer the others too. I believe in leading by example. How can you tell me that the thing of my car is too dark or my imaginary car if I don't have none? And you, the lawmakers, have said the darkest thing. And let me mention, there's a law for those people and a different law for us. Let us know and read it. Spell it out for us. Don't just come and say, yes, there's a law. Tell us section by section where this law exists.
Mm-hmm.
No unions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about unions. You know, it has clearly been proven that these two major unions don't give a hoot about the workers of Barbados. Nothing. And I am going to bring some facts. One major fact as far as the NUPW is concerned. When the workers were very reverted, I came on the Cornell program and they said that they should have a national shutdown. As a matter of fact, I say you only want three establishments here and Seaport. And if anything that happened with Minnesota, they call in sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
I had a body saying UPW said nothing. But when the president of that union was reverted, he publicly came and called for a national shutdown. What does that tell you? Huh? I mean, what am I going to take? Are we the most ignorant people when it comes to common sense that God ever placed on this earth? Huh? But one more. I spoke to the boss of the Barbados Workers Union. I think I had a series of seminars at the BWU at Hunts Bay Road. And I told her how workers where it's being threatened, especially with transportation in relation to the minibuses and transport board buses. I told her, I spoke to the woman for about 45 minutes. Those two unions should be memberless, not a fella, not a boy. What are you paying these people for? Remember during the last set of layoffs? Then I sit down and negotiate how many people should be sent home. I thought you were going to negotiate on their people's job, even if it's a 3-day week or something. But no, you're going negotiating to see how many people should be sent home. And the therefore sending home people may be creating some criminals now because we don't want this thing to happen. But when it comes in the interest of survival, man will do anything, almost anything to survive.
All right. Thanks a lot, sir, for calling. We're going to have to take a break now. We take a message or two, and then we come back and we continue Brass Talks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Talks. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
How are you, man? I'm not too bad, you know. I trust you enjoy whatever I'm there for you were.
Man, it did,
nice
yeah.
To have
yeah.
you back.
Yes. It was too long, but still.
Pardon?
It was too long.
It has been. It yeah, has it's been too but long. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
True.
Yeah, I have a subject or two to deal with you. But before I get there, I think the last caller was mentioning something there about, you know, the Dennis and so forth. And prior to this, I've been hearing people say, oh, Dennis Johnson could multitask. He's doing 3 jobs in one. But I certainly ain't getting paid for one. And I would hope, and I'm saying it freely, Peter, I would hope to hear Dennis' voice somewhere else in Barbados. I hope the powers that be realize that there's a person out there with these skills to go other places where you
can start trouble, no.
Make a contribution.
Buddy, that is not going anywhere near up.
You are certain?
I am certain.
Well,
I am certain. But he's not paid badly here.
He's a skilled man.
Right, and I think that we recognize that, and that's the reason why he's staying down by the riverside.
Peter.
Dennis and I have one thing in common. Dennis and I have one thing in common. Both of us flirted. Both of us flirted with up there at different points in time, for different lengths of time, for different reasons. And we have both, we are of one mind in the view that...
You should allow Dennis to speak for himself, but I would expect, I don't expect Dennis to risk...
He can clarify. Well, I don't see him shaking his head, but he can clarify when he comes on.
Oh, you leave him. You leave Dennis. All I just want to say is that all the fancy talk about how much things he can do, multitasking, that kind of thing... Yeah. He could be someplace else where
but,
the money is
but think about it though as a serious point. When you consider the way that the industry has evolved over time, do you think that a national broadcaster or a terrestrial license is as attractive as it was 10 years ago?
Well, I
from your perspective.
I don't know what to say on that.
Because your answer to that question also helps to inform your views on what you think ought to be done regarding Caribbean Broadcasting Corporation.
I know where you're coming from.
Right. Listen. When you consider that in 2013, they didn't have an inauguration in 2013. In 2008, when David Thompson took over, and they had this thing at Kensington Oval, where you had ministers being sworn in and whatnot. The only way you could broadcast that was via CBC. This time around, I don't even know if it was on CBC. You get my point?
I see you drifting.
Technology has moved, and I think that the way that we view CBC and the way that we view the importance it once held is no longer there. And I think that that may very well be a big factor in a lot of decisions, not only whether someone like Dennis goes out there or whether it actually exists a year from now.
Sorry for crossing you. Mm-hmm. No, in short, I believe I'm hearing you're hinting that a certain license are issued and so forth. There would be need for people like Dennis to move further. Look, let us finish that. I call you on a point.
I thought we were just talking general policy, but anyhow.
Yeah. I call you on a point here that I know sometimes it may not be too pleasant for some people when they hear these things. Mm. I don't know how you will go with this one, but I believe Barbados, over the time, and at this point of time, we're going to go through some changes. We're going to go through changes with layoffs. The situation is going to become tighter before it gets back better. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm expecting or I would like to see, if we are going to change and we are going to modernize, I think the system now of ticketing and so forth in the city, I believe, and that's not a fact, that has become obsolete.
Yeah.
Now, for argument's sake, okay, you take it between 8 in the morning, 6 in the afternoon. Now, along that line, it has been mooted that, if you're in the city, you should go down to, what's that area in the back of the market to that car park? Park down there, come back in the city. Now, we have quite a few incapacitated persons who come into the city, has to go into banks and so forth. A lot of aged people in this country who are not able to walk the distance from the car park to town. And I specifically say the bank because a lot of people have got to change the checks there, whether it be pension checks. Some people have to change the checks from working paycheck. Mm-hmm. At the bank. Peter, I think the time has come in Barbados that we should be using metering on one side of the road in certain places of town, where's that you will get your money from the metering, because a person will be glad to come and use a parking meter, put off the old aunt, uncle, or somebody in the bank, wait for them, pay, wait for them, and move on. Rather than to go down to the car park, go upstairs, you've got to come down and you got to try to get that person back up to the bank however you could.
All right.
I would think it made more sense.
Reasonable point, and my only concern is that the concept of metering is now antiquated. Now we have what is called pay and display. We have pay and display, which is essentially the same thing, but you remove the need for having parking meters. So you have a pay and display with a terminal that is located, you know, somewhere within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, you park your vehicle, you go, you pay, you get a ticket, and you display it on the vehicle. If it doesn't have a display ticket, then the police will issue a ticket of their own. So in principle, I agree with you. In theory, I'm just saying that you don't really see meters now. I don't know where you travel, but I don't really see meters.
Well, I travel broadly, but not in recent times.
Okay.
So. Yeah. I
think that old people like yourself need to be catered to. So I would imagine. I'm not a bark member, you know, so I could make old people jokes because I know they'll be coming at me as well.
You're wicked, man. So, I think the situation, back on a serious note, I think mm-hmm. the situation should be looked at.
We are in agreement. Look, the way that Bridgetown is managed on the whole, I think, has to be a source of conversation, especially since we have to also decide what we're going to do with Bridgetown. Because in the same way that the role that CBC plays has become obsolete, I think in many ways the concept of a city is becoming obsolete. And we have to decide how we're going to bring life back to Bridgetown or how we're going to manage that life. The move towards pedestrianizing Bridgetown, I think, is an important part. Recently, I have been in Europe for an extended period of time, and a lot of their cities have now been pedestrianized. And even in instances where they're not pedestrianized, you have a city like London now where you have congestion charging. So if you're going to drive your vehicle in, unless you are in one of the categories that you have identified, like you're disabled, you're old, whatever, you're paying dearly to move around in the city in a vehicle. So I'm saying that is all part of the same program. I think that we need to ask ourselves, when we decide what we're going to do with Bridgetown, we have to decide how we're going to handle parking. And I do agree with you that the metering or the pay and display is an option. And then how are we going to allow people to move around in Bridgetown? Are we going to introduce bicycle lanes and moving in that way? How are we going to make it more pedestrian friendly? Can we close off Broad Street altogether, which I would be glad, and let's let people walk all up and down in the road, you know? You might remember the time when people used to walk in the middle of Broad Street back in the day, your time, your youth.
Peter, we need to get forward, though.
We are
just on this backward train, moving day to day on it, and I again, it would seem as though I have not met Dennis Johnson anywhere different on the radio station. Again, he is one of the people who has been talking about modernizing Bridgetown, expressly coming from the dock.
Yeah.
This side of the road, not a shop on the side of the road, not a nice bar to the seaside coming up, right up to the market.
Dead space.
All their space.
Dead space.
Where people would be coming and sitting down on benches. Like, I don't want Gourmet because he has done this before.
Yeah,
one or two people. Talking about it don't make any sense if we are not going to get started. But I do believe if this administration continue in which way that they're going, and some of the young people that are in the cabinet start to really use their heads and listen to the people, you got to listen to the people, I think we will get somewhere further. Peter, I am not going to hold on any longer. I think I've said my bit, but I hope we'll be able to sit down at some time in the near future. And I believe I don't drink rum and coke, but if you give me one, I would take it. Have a good day, Peter.
All right, sir. Take care. Once your rum is of good quality, you have me there in that regard. Dr. Brastocks, good morning.
Blessed good morning to you, my brother.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am wonderful to hear your voice again, Peter. This is Mr. Harvey Culture.
Any other will be cocked to feet?
Yes, please. Ken, I pick up that from the Honorable Ken Husbands. A good man indeed. So, Peter, how was your little holiday?
It was good. Not much of a holiday, but it was
well,
good.
Well, whatever, that is your private business, whatever you did anyhow. But I got a picture sent to my WhatsApp page with you sitting down with a lady somewhere in the Europe, just trying to be facetious, a lady who sat over the side of CBC, because I heard all along, since May the 24th, 25th, she went missing. But here it is, you were sitting at a table with her over brunch.
Okay. A lady from CBC?
Yeah, that sat on a political analyst like yourself and your, one of your old alma maters as well.
Oh, I can't remember who that was.
Peter, I just... How is everything, man?
I think I know who you mean. That wasn't a real thing. That was a little false thing.
That was a little false. That's just like a little joke with your brother.
I would like to know where she is, though. You know where she is?
That's May the 24th, though. One can't find her.
No.
You know?
She and Chris.
Correct.
But Chris put in a guest appearance, but she put in a guest appearance.
I believe so, my brother. I'm not only saying that, I'm saying now you're a good friend. You're a good friend. Yeah. Who was trying to be the leader of the Democratic Labour Party, now can't even leave the United States of America, can't even come to his own place of birth. And that is really, really, really sad. But anyhow, and as was rightfully said, you're innocent until proven guilty. And from my end, I wish him well. I really wish him well.
Do you know?
I wish him well. And I'm not a person to get one side to say this and the next. I don't go on that road. Yeah. You know, you got to... see what has happened, what has transpired. Be not as it may, though, a lot of the other colleagues on his side, they really did a lot of foolishness to Barbados. They really destroyed this economy. And I hope that investigations will go deep into every single former minister who held a portfolio in the Democratic Labour Party. And if it is any kind of breach whatsoever while they hold public office, I want them to be held accountable for the public purse, Peter, and I say that without any regret or apologies whatsoever. And I know that a lot of other people would agree with me, because Barbados is in a state of disrepair, Peter. Okay. Don't fool yourself. You're the man that know, huh?
We agree.
We're in a terrible place.
One thing I would say to you, though, is that I would not hold my breath, and I've said this before, regarding, because the money that fly away, as you say, I don't know that prosecuting anybody can make it necessarily fly back.
No. So, I never made that part. I mean, just how, listen to me carefully, you know, I don't wish bad for nobody, because a man got children, as a man got family. And yes, I believe in karma, Peter. Karma will catch up to you, don't care what you do. How if anybody else, while holding government office, use their power to do anything like him, I just want them to be brought to justice and held accountable. Because I know for a fact within my heart, I was not a godly man, but you know the spirit, and watch your prayer to the Holy Father. I don't go to church now, nothing, but I can tell you, certain things will be revealed to you. And I know a lot of other people, Peter, have done a lot of
things.
Things
get revealed to you even though you don't go to church?
Yeah, I ain't got to go to church. You know,
I thought you had to go to church to get these revelations.
That's true. That's not true, Peter. You're an atheist, but I am none. I still believe in God.
But I thought that you were going to go because communion of saints is part of the deal.
No,
so you can't call yourself a Christian if you don't go to church.
No. You know what my problem is? That you cannot go to church on a Sunday and jump out and holler for more hallelujah and amen and praise the Lord. And Sunday evening, me and Peter Wickham come by your door because we ain't got the first set to buy your food. And you got a big pot of rice and stew. And I tell you, I want to play the food, and you run me from at your door.
Right, I agree with you, but I am just saying, but if you are adhering to the creed, you know, the communion of saints is part of the whole thing. The forgiveness of sin is part of it too. So
yeah,
my thing is that you have to go and commune.
I come to the top with no religion, but you know what I can tell you, another problem I have? How do you appoint a Roman Catholic priest and you say he is not allowed to get married? And whenever you look, thousands of young people, they'll be pitiful in the fairy little boys, in the fairy little whatever.
That's disgusting.
How you feel about them things, sir?
That's disgusting. But is the Pope that got to answer all of them questions?
The Pope ain't got to answer God. The Pope is not God. The Pope is a human being.
No, but I think that in the same way he was pontificating on homosexuality as a mental illness, he should be pontificating on the number of people he have in his group that suffer from the mental illness of pedophilia.
Yeah, but that is a fact too. But
he has never been challenged on those issues.
I can tell you something. You as a man, you got feelings regardless of what sex you side down. But you cannot be a reverend and interfere with...
I am agreeing with you. And I'm saying that we also have to ask people in the clergy, like the Pope and like the other ones that I have knocking about here too, to speak to those issues, because to me those need to be the priority. And I agree with you that I think the level of pedophilia in the Catholic Church is scandalous, and I think it should be the source of far more concern than it seems to attach to people's minds.
I agree with you 1,000%. And then when you look over to where we are as you come along as a little boy, Peter, And you know that the Anglican Church used to actually run Barbados alongside the politicians. You know that. Because wherever there was a church, there was a primary school. Because the Anglican Church played a vital role. We cannot even pick a bishop from a Barbados. Now we got to go to the House of Bishops, again, like with Rex L. Gomez, and pick somebody that cannot even identify with no bishop in Barbados, nor cannot identify with Barbados. I got a serious problem with that kind of behavior.
All right. Okay, Mr. Agriculture, thanks a lot for calling. We're going to have to take a break. We come right back with more of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 434-1790. Good morning.
Hello, hi. Good morning, Peter.
Yes, morning, sir. How are you doing?
I good, man. You sound well rested. You sound very revitalized, man.
Let's hope so. Ready for the long run ahead.
Yeah. So you enjoy it, though?
I did, yeah, I did. It just felt like it was time to come back home.
Your papa said that you is a festival man, you're the crap over man.
But I wasn't there finals. I was there finals night.
What about Rankaduma?
No, but I'm saying I wasn't there, but at least my image was there Friday night. I did a recording for that thing on Friday.
You did something true.
Don't mind that. My horse get beat, but still.
No, your horse. Who did your horse again?
I did a thing for, I forget the gentleman's name though. And I even got Dennis here to help me.
Oh, okay. All right. Look, enough of that.
Was the winner last year?
Oh, Ian.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Webster. iWeb, right. So I did something for iWeb coming in this time.
Ian is a big night horse, you know.
Yeah. But it wasn't a big night this time for him.
No, not at all. Well, not big night horses, too. Because Psych also a big night horse.
But tell me, though, has anyone ever won the one twice?
Three times.
Consecutively?
Plastic, of course.
RPB, okay.
Plastic Bike.
And Gabby. Yeah, Kisite, right. Plastic Bike, Kisite, and Gabby. Okay.
And Webster do it back-to-back. Not when it's a back-to-back, he won twice.
Mm-hmm.
He won twice.
He won twice?
Yeah, he won twice.
Okay.
Right?
It just seems like...
Twice, he won 1 year and then win the next.
Yeah, right. It just seems like there's
went three on the trot.
On the trot, okay.
I think Gabby won three on the trot, and I also think Plaster Bike did it three on the trot.
Okay.
All right.
It's a useful set of information. I just find that it seems like when people win 1 year, because my boy iWeb won, and then, you know, things didn't work out so well this year.
Yeah, but anyhow, I think that blood. People say he deserve it. People say it's long in coming and all that, but I really think, honestly,
he did well.
That blood did well enough to win, and that's the truth. You know, I think so.
We had a conversation last year around the same time when you were saying, because when I listened to, I didn't attend the show, but when I listened to
you can give me Taxi, my time,
right? I gave my time. When I listened to my boy singing Taxi, I said, "But he can't get beat." But then you said to me that when you heard iWeb, that there was no doubt in your mind that he would have gone through.
That is so true.
Which is the reason why you got to be there to listen on the night to really know what's going on.
I never tell to say. It is one of the best finals that I have ever experienced in my life, and I experienced a lot of finals.
The last one, not this one.
Not this one, the nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
The whole configuration of finals night this year, they lose something. It did not have the sting. It did not have... Look, the press, it was just off. Let me get it right.
But everybody thought to tell me that crop over on the whole this year was flat.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But the truth
is because y'all, man, pushed the election all down in there, you know what I'm saying? How you expect people to recover from an election and then go and walk up the next week?
The truth to be told though, last year finals night, one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anyhow, let me get on to my main thing, right?
But I don't understand why you don't call me and talk these things.
But I don't understand why I know, and you know, that there's a Fair Works program. And if you want me to converse with you on Fair Works...
But they do not let me anywhere close to Fair Works.
And I would converse
I have asked repeatedly
you.
And they don't let me. So my thing is, whenever I get you here, we got to be talking politics. And you said this is an aside, but I want to discuss these things with you as a main course.
And honestly, right? Honestly, there's nothing, and Dennis could testify to this, that I like to talk more. At least I like to discuss the performing arts. Right. I love Krapova. I love the calypso side of it. Okay? You know, Grand Kadouman is gravy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like where the Krapova, where the tents, right, come from and where they're at today. I like where the Calypsonians are able to step up their craft. And now I like to discuss that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want somebody that could discuss with me, that could challenge me, man. Okay? Right. And I'm sure that you could challenge me.
All
right. Now, let me go on to my thing there, right?
Uh-huh.
What you got to do, what ordinary people have to do to be recognized, right, on a Brass Stats program? I'm talking about ordinary people. I'm not talking about the...
What do you mean by recognized?
You will see from time to time, right? And let me left out you. I can take you out of the equation. I can take out you and I can take out Dennis Johnson. Because y'all fellas, two of you fellas, want to refer to something that one of us would have heard or a comment that one of us heard from an ordinary caller to the program, right? Let me tell you again with this. Only if you're a university graduate or if you're somebody stuck up in society, certain moderators on this show would refer or talk after you or make a comment because you, this person, would have made the comment. For years, right? For years, your particular caller been beating and asking questions about Andrew's Factory. You know what caller you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he said that he was born in the neighborhood and he knew it better than most. This guy talk about Andrew's Factory like if he billed. And then he was so hurt to see the state that Andrew's Factory resort to or was placed in. And then this whole big law talk about a multi-purpose factory and a one factory and all sort of thing with a lot of monitoring behind it. This man, every day come and speak for the most part about the Andrew Factory, about the one factory system, about the mechanism and all that thing surrounding that. He even talk about the man, mostly we call River Tambring,
mm-hmm.
and nobody never referred to him, you know. But a group, Miss Motley, Miss Prime Minister Mayor Motley, right, said only last week that she was able to negotiate with the stakeholders or the people who would have the contractors or so. She was able to get them to walk away from that arrangement quietly, which the country should be proud, because that was real debt.
So what is it you would like to have happen? You wanted someone to comment on it?
Here we're going with this.